Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Podonis, and tonight we are live to recap round 15, which was a more happy round for us, not a perfect round, but we did go 3-1 on our best bets. We did also win the mixed matchup at $2.40. And you know what? We were very close to probably doing even better. Like, we didn't get a multi up, but we had a 10-1 multi on Dabble that only loses with Storm to win both halves. And the first half was 16 all, and they missed two shots at goal after the siren. That's how close, that's the only losing leg. That's how close we were at a 10-1 multi. And the opening game of the round, which we'll get to, which was actually the only upset of the round in the end, was the Dragons winning by 20. And the only way we could lose that bet was if Dragons won 13 plus. The Rabbitohs were so bad that they cost us because we actually liked the underdog in that one. So it could have been better, but I guess you can't complain. In fact, a huge game for us, which ended up deciding two best bets and the mixed matchup, was the Para Roosters game. And we've got a little clip here to share to just relive the final seconds of that one.
Yes! Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no, no. Get up, Gutho. No!
It's a fine line between victory and defeat. Shout out to the Undertaker, although he wasn't victorious on Saturday night. Had a good night out. Went to Redcliffe to watch the last Warriors kind of home game before they jet back across the ditch. Obviously saw Penrith put on a masterclass and then went to the Leagues Club. Saw that pretty enthralling Parramatta Roosters game. We're going to talk about all that, but actually we were kind of all over the shop here. We're going to give you a best bet that you weren't expecting. And that's where I'm going to allow Podonis to start talking. And it's probably a giveaway, what we're about to share, because the next major game, I mean, we've got rep round next week, but the biggest game on everyone's lips is going to be Origin 2. You might guess by what we're both wearing. We are actually going to tip New South Wales head-to-head as a best bet, and Podonis can share the key reasons.
Yeah, Blues as our best bet, head-to-head there, $1.85 on Sportsbet. Look, I don't feel that there's too much a difference between the two teams in game one, and I don't really take much away from that game in terms of upgrading Queensland too much or downgrading the Blues. And if anything, I feel that the Blues, with their rumoured team, that it's slightly stronger than what it was in game one, with guys like Appy Korosau, who should be in the 14 jersey just to help relieve Cook, because I felt he got tired a bit in that game, and a bit of a different edge to past years. And Burnham and Adokar, potentially the left centre and left wing spots, that will allow Crichton to be on the right-hand edge and have that Penrith connection once again with To'o, and Burton will have that link with Luai and Cleary. So I feel that it's pretty good familiarity with the Blues, and this is a great bet to take if you do think the Blues are a minus 1.5 or minus 2 point better team, because you can get a pick 'em on a neutral. They're going to be extra motivated as well. Let's not forget, down 1-0. They don't want to lose a series and go 0-2, so that slight edge should see him in a good spot in this game. Jacob, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I believe that being down 1-0-1, that could easily be worth half a point to a point, just in desperation that you just cannot match the team that's in do or die. And I also think the mind games and all the talk about the ruck and the advantages that Queensland got out of that in game one in Sydney, and the lack of policing of it and six against for New South Wales, it is going to feed into the referees' minds, and it's just not in anyone's interest for New South Wales to get any rough calls, put it this way. I mean, not conspiracy theorists. We've kind of just come through an NBA Finals series. Shout out to the Warriors. And we do talk about in the NBA, the teams that are down in series sometimes get better calls. You know, whether or not that's true or whether it's just a team that's down is also fighting harder and then earning the calls. I think there's something to that. I do think it's likely that we're going to get a decider. And look, going into game one, most people would have thought New South Wales had the stronger side, but I think Queensland proved they're every bit as good as the Blues. Did they prove they're significantly better? I'm not sure. It was a pretty even match in the end. I think the loss of Cotter is bigger than any New South Wales loss. Like, I think Whiten was great in game one, but he can be replaced. And look, we're hearing the rumoured team. I'm surprised Stags hasn't been picked, to be honest, but they've just got so much depth, New South Wales, that it doesn't really, like, I'm not sure if you know yet, Podonis, if, like, if Addo Carr comes in, is that Tupou out? But I just kind of feel like whichever way they go with that, and it sounds like Burton is going to get the left center spot, and then you're getting even more of that Penrith connection because he's a grand final winning center and center, Dally M center of the year from last year, playing with, you know, playing with all those Penrith teammates, and they're just one of the best teams we've ever seen in regular season form. We'll get to that as well. So I don't think New South Wales can go too wrong. I think they're going to change up a few of their forwards, but again, I don't feel there's any downgrade there. So look, not everyone wanted or needed an Origin best bet. We often don't have them. And I'm a Queenslander. It hurts me to kind of do this, but the more I thought about the game and I've been thinking about it the last few days, I do think New South Wales are going to be too strong. I do think they'll bounce back. I do think the line will creep out and could be 2.5 on game day. So put it this way, if you want that bet, you jump on best price on Sportsbet, $1.85. It's like $1.80 elsewhere. Or if you're thinking of betting New South Wales, I would suggest take them now. If you like Queensland, I would wait. I think you may even leak out and get a +2, +2.5 closer to game day. We're going to do an Origin preview similar to what we did for game one. I want to put that out Friday. So we'll have Wednesday off, no pod, no NRL, but Friday we will put out a collaborative pod. We'll get the masterminds and a lot of the top group contributors, including yourself, Podonis, to all have a closer look at Origin 2 and every angle and every bet and see how many winners we can find. So look out for that. I'm thinking 6:15 Friday, the video and audio that people can consume ahead of the weekend rep round. But we are going to talk about round 15 now that all the clubs get a couple of weeks off. Before we go game by game, let's hear how the bookies went.
G'day, Tripod family. Tristan here from Top Sport. We've had some finishes that have gone down to the wire for the line and the head-to-head action in a number of games this round. On Friday night in particular, the Cowboys scoring that late try to beat the Seagulls when the Seagulls looked like they were home. That kept a lot of multis live. We thought we were going to have a big result there for a while. And then in the Storm game, the Broncos looking like they were in it for a long way. And then Melbourne just covering late. And then for the Broncos to score that runaway try as well to get the backdoor cover. So a couple of big swings there, one against us, one for us. And then the game just gone. The Knights-Canberra game, a lot of customers had multis running into Canberra at the head-to-head. And I thought we were in a pretty good spot there with a minute to go with the Knights in front. And then Canberra, great try by Hudson Young to get the result. So up and down weekend, the Panthers, you know, the kick at the end as well. There was a lot of play with that kick. So it was an exciting weekend. The lines are around about the number. We move into Origin this weekend. Obviously, squads announced tonight. We'll have our stacker markets up. So make sure you check all of them out during the week. And hopefully back to winner over the weekend. And all the best. Thanks.
So the round kicked off after last round 7 of 8 favourites winning and covering. This round kicked off with a big upset. And unfortunately, it was a sad one for us because our best bet went down with the Dragons winning 32-12. Our best bet was either team to win 1-12. And the Dragons got out 32-0, 6 tries in the first half, put on us.
Yeah, just absolutely frustrating to watch this game on the opening day of the round. And on Wednesday, we did lean the Dragons. And the line was only 6.5 when we were doing our preview on Wednesday. And had it been 8.5, we probably would have taken the Dragons outright. And that's what it ended up closing day after. There was a weight of money on Souths. And the way that they started, you would have thought that the weight of money would be for the Dragons, the way that they came out flat. I've never seen Souths this year so disinterested, and just they weren't physical in the contest, and the Dragons were winning 20-0 after 15 minutes and the game was almost over. And credit to South in the second half for showing some spirit, and the Dragons would say that it was a disappointing half from them, but just a frustrating one for us when we liked the underdog and we found the play that we thought was a great angle with either team 1-12. And it was a similar bet, the one we did with the Cowboys against Melbourne. So twice we've done it this year and it's burned us twice. So that's not to say that it's not a good bet. Just unfortunately, you need both teams to show up in that scenario, and we didn't get that in the first half with the heavy favorite.
Yeah, you have to live with our decision making there. Like, you like an underdog, and they're usually around a 6.5 to 7.5 point underdog. And historically we've liked to attack that with either team 1-12, because of course we always say we're essentially extending that line all the way to 12.5. but we're adding on the risk that the underdog could win 13 plus. We don't think that's very likely. We play it that way. Often, it doesn't matter which bet you take. Like, they're interchangeable. And often, the underdog might get a narrow, you know, upset defeat, or they might just go down and cover the line. It wouldn't have mattered which way you play it. But you'd like to think that in the long run, you will have the underdog lose by 8, 10, 12, and you'd be like, beauty, that's the beauty of playing it that way. And you felt a bit safer late in the game. We've done it twice this year where we've sniffed out a good live home underdog in Cowboys against Melbourne and then Dragons against Rabbitohs. And look, us, and we weren't alone. We didn't see a 13-plus win coming. And it does really frustrate me because the Rabbitohs simply didn't show up. You said you haven't seen the Rabbitohs play that bad. I mean, I haven't seen any team. That was the worst performance of any team in any half this season. They conceded 6 tries to none. And they'd start the game $1.35 favorite. So when that happens, you're going to get extreme results when one team totally no-shows. And it was an important game for the Rabbitohs, but it was important for the Dragons too. You know, McCulloch's 300th and, you know, at home, and they're still fighting to make the 8 and keep their season relevant. So the Dragons didn't put a foot wrong. You know what else that really frustrates me? All the teams that burned us last week, and we got kicked from pillar to post last week because we lost 5 best bets, I think, across 4 games. But who did we lose backing last week? We backed the Dragons. Why would you back the useless Dragons? We backed the Titans. Well, the Titans are useless. Well, they covered this week as well. We backed the Knights. They covered this week. We backed Parramatta last week. Well, they covered this week. So all the teams that failed us last week, they all played so much better this round. At least we were able to find more winning sides than losing sides, but just not in this game. And I just blame the Rabbitohs for a horrendous start, and I really can't totally explain it. What about we move to another wild game, which we did get on the right side of the ledger with at Four Pines Park. The Cowboys came back and won 28-26 over the Seagulls after trailing 26-12 with 8 minutes to go.
Yeah, what a crazy ending this game had, with Manly essentially having the contest wrapped up on 99 out of 100 times. I think Cowboys would have been less than a 1.5% chance live, because they were down 14 points, so 2 tries still wouldn't have been enough. And I felt this was a pretty good game on balance, and I really enjoyed this one. Two teams that had plenty to play for, and the Cowboys with renewed spirit this year, up against Manly with Evans back and big home crowd on the 6 p.m. time slot, which isn't always as conducive to getting a good crowd. But I felt Manly came out hard to play, and they had a great lead, 10-0 lead, and they were playing well, and the Cowboys were on the back foot. It was the right play to take him in the first half. And then one of the guys who we criticised on Wednesday, Lachlan Croker, I thought he had his best game all season. He was phenomenal for them. He scored 2 tries. He had that 40-20 just before that. All the momentum was with the Seagulls. And I thought they were going to win by 13-plus. And with about 10 minutes to go, it looks that way. And then even still, after the Cowboys scored those 2 tries, and then they knock on off the kickoff, with the Cowboys down 4 points, or I think it was 2 points, and then there was 3 minutes left. Manly have a scrum on the Cowboys 30, every opportunity to close the game out, and their best player, the Origin halfback, dwells on the ball, and he gets hit on his arm and loses possession, and Valentine Holmes picks it up with a NFL-style pick 6, and he runs all the way down and scores the match winner in the end. And this game still even got a bit crazy in the final 10 seconds with Evans having a chance at a 2-point field goal that could have sent it to extra time. And I don't know, I think Manly weren't really prepared for that, because why wasn't Croker taking that tap and passing it to Evans? Because I thought the pass was a bit high to him. It wasn't optimal. You need everything to go right. But yeah, Morgan Harper passed it just above his head and he lost the momentum and the kick was a bit wayward. But credit to the Cowboys for coming back, but I really felt Manly let that game slip.
Yeah, had that 2-point conversion gone in, it would have been even crazier. But it was crazy enough with everything that transpired. And you don't forget as well, the adversity for the Cowboys, which included losing Cotter 10 minutes before kickoff, doing his hammy in the warm-up, which is brutal. It's one of their best players, one of the form forwards of the competition. And he's withdrawn from the side. And they already were without both starting second rollers from last week as well. And then Tabuai Fidoh, he cops a knock to the head first half, doesn't come back on second half. Manly had the better of the game. They just didn't quite put the Cowboys away. And why was that? I mean, for one reason, Cowboys they've got this confidence and this belief that they are really fit and they can lean on their defense and they can overwhelm sides, and they didn't panic because they knew they were the fitter side and they knew that they still had some hope. But also, like, they regathered multiple dropouts, you know, like, they've got the confidence and they're all on the same page to execute plays like that. And those were huge moments where they were, like, multiple times Manly forced a dropout, but then the Cowboys went short, regathered it, and then suddenly they're not under the pump and they can get themselves back in the game. But it's still, regardless, it doesn't even matter who's playing who. No NRL team should lose a game up 14 under 10 minutes to go. So it is brutal. And the fact that the winning tries offer essentially an intercept as well, that just crushes Manly's season. I know their season away was already over when Turbo got injured, you know, a month ago, but this side still would have thought, we've got top eight credentials. We want to fight. They'd won two in a row pretty well. And you got to kind of think, if Manly take themselves seriously as a contender when Turbo's there, they've still got to be a top eight side when he's not there. They can't fall into a heap and fall outside the eight, but I just can't believe they blew this game. And on the other hand, what an amazing win by the Cowboys. And they just kept fighting to give themselves hope. Although you mentioned Croker, I think it's worth mentioning him too, because it wasn't even like a great game, I thought. It was like he had the greatest 5 minutes maybe in the history of rugby league. He just stepped in dummy half and drilled a 40-20, got him on the front foot. End of that set, Cherry Evans threads the needle with a grubber. He comes through, picks it up, scores. And then about two sets later, he gets the ball on fifth tackle. He grubbers through. Schuster air swings at the ball. He chases his own kick and grounds it as well. And so he's come up with back-to-back tries in about 4 minute span and have kicked a 40-20. And you thought he'd won them the game right there, and he should have.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys fought. And wins like that is gonna probably go a long way to securing them a top four spot. That was as impressive as any win they've had this season. Obviously not the margin, but the circumstances. That was incredible, breathtaking win. Now, your boys went down to Melbourne and the Storm did get the better of them, 32-20. I already mentioned it was 16 all at half time, unfortunately, for our 10-1 multi. But you know what? I think the Storm had to score two late tries in the first half to get it back level, because Brisbane did explode out of the box, but honest.
Well, actually, it was Melbourne who exploded out of the blocks in the first 10 minutes. They had all the running and scored that try. And then to the Broncos' credit, they really fought back in this game and fought hard, and they ended up getting three trials of their own in a space of 10 minutes, two to Oates and one to Cobbo. They're two star wingers, and Oates is really playing to a level back in his earlier days, because he was dropped in a period there during the Seabold reign. But I don't know, whatever's happened with Kevy, he's really taken him under his wing and found some form in Q Cup, and he's come back to the NRL and really applied himself. So credit to him. But I'm not going to take much away from the Broncos. I did feel Melbourne were always in control, even though they were down two tries, because every time Melbourne had the ball, they just looked so dangerous. And then when I look at it on the other end of the spectrum from the Broncos, they had a rookie 5'8", they had a halfback who hadn't played in 2 years, and they had a backup hooker in Walters there with Pates' injury. So I really felt that the Broncos spine had every excuse to put in a poor performance, but credit to them, that shows how far they've come as a club, that they are sticking strong together. And they're going to be much better towards the end of the season once they get Adam Reynolds fully fit. Hopefully he is fit. He's had quite a few injuries so far this year, and different types of injuries, which isn't great for long-term health. But Brisbane can definitely look towards a top four spot. I think it's between them and the Eels for that fourth spot. And it's going to be great to see how they bounce back after the Origin period, because they have had a few players, unlike the last few years, with only Payne Haas being the only representative. So credit to them. It was a great game to watch to cap off the Friday.
There's this team that we'll talk about in the next game that is also in the top four hunt, and that's the Cronulla Sharks. And I do think Brisbane will be up against it to make the four because of all those players involved in the rep games. And their next opponent is at North Queensland. So they will be an underdog, and that is going to be a really tough one to win. But that's the kind of game maybe they've got to win. I know they will have Parramatta coming up in their schedule again. So, look, you're right. The Brisbane team of old and of past seasons goes down and plays Melbourne near enough to full strength. I know Pappy's out, but Pappy will be back, I think, next time Melbourne plays. But near enough full strength, Penrith, Melbourne, they've been making teams look pretty poor with this kind of lineup. And Brisbane hung in there. And they showed that, yeah, even though with all the lack of continuity and the new faces in the spine, they made a game of it. And I think Melbourne overwhelmed them and was too strong in the second half. And this Brisbane side's a pretty good defensive side, and Melbourne still put on, you know, 32 points and probably should have covered the game. I think Tristan mentioned that what was it, a charge down kick right at the end, and then streaks away. And that, you know, if you had 13 plus or whatever, you lose because Brisbane gets that late try. As you say, Melbourne was comfortable enough, as were the Sharkies, although there was a little fight back before halftime, but the Sharks won 18-10 at Gosford. And what were your biggest takeaways from this one?
Yeah, the Sharks were comfortable enough hitting out to a 10-0 lead, but then the Titans fought hard to get back into the game. They scored two tries in a six-minute period. And before you knew it, it was 10-all with about half an hour into the contest. And I don't know, the Sharks always seemed in control, but very error-prone, pretty clunky with the ball. And the Gold Coast showed some great online goal line defense. I think the Sharks had about 30 or 40 tackles inside the Gold Coast 20 in the second half, especially. And the Sharks only scored one try and plenty of other opportunities. And I think it was just slightly better class for the Sharks. I got them over the line in the end. Luckily the cover wasn't in doubt because there was a try taken away from the Gold Coast right at the end, which was pretty brutal because they went back and the bunker actually ruled on a Matt Moylan knock-on that was about a minute before the Gold Coast intercept. And then Maggio ended up bumping off to Akatoa and having a 40-meter run after he got the ball off Beaufort Firma. So it was pretty unlucky. It was a good try for the Gold Coast, or it wasn't to be. But, I think the Sharks were in control. But the Gold Coast, again, much improved effort. And at least the scoreline was a lot more respectable for them, unlike the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy to think it could have been an 18-16 final. But I think Cronulla also wasted a lot of opportunities. I was kind of listening to this on the radio on the way to the game yesterday, and then I watched it again this morning, and it did seem like if Cronulla had executed a bit better. Yeah. And there's a questionable try overturned by the bunker, I thought, there too, where they said obstruction on what would have been Moylan's second try. I didn't really see it. There were a few through the weekend. I mean, there was a Corey Oates one that was allowed that a lot of people thought to the letter of the law, going back to that Brisbane Storm game, that probably shouldn't have been a try. So it's just hard when there's no consistency because it goes up to the bunker and you just don't know what mood they're in. I think we've said this before. You don't know what they're going to call and you just hope it's not going to decide a big game. I guess we can just say Sharks did enough. They're still looking for that kind of complete performance. And for the Titans, it's good signs, but, you know, there's not really many moral victories in the NRL either. They're still hurt themselves in moments in that game where they could have got back into the contest. They would shoot themselves in the foot and let all the pressure off. Now, it was just pressure for 80 minutes, basically, at Morton Daly Stadium, where the Panthers won 40-6. And I was in attendance with The Undertaker, with Barney, Mitch, Brent, and it was a great night out with the lads. And we watched a superb team that you know, started slow. The Penrith have patience. They're not necessarily trying to blow you away, but they're just going to kill you with 1,000 cuts. I mean, I think they missed a couple opportunities early. They had a try that was overturned when Edwards would have scored first. But eventually, the Panthers kind of clicked into gear, and especially getting a late try right on the stroke of halftime, then the Warriors were dead. And I think we referenced this a couple of times. You know, you follow people like The Undertaker in the group and he shares Penrith minus 21.5. And you're never worried throughout the whole game. And it made me think, geez, we could have played a far inferior line, like minus 25.5 on Wednesday. And it still would never really look like losing. This Penrith side, like, you would have been shocked if the score was within 20. That's how good they are. And that's how much the Warriors are struggling. And the Warriors eventually saved face a tiny bit, I suppose, by getting the last try, which was something for, you know, a fair few Kiwi fans that were in attendance. But this Panthers seems seriously scary, and I think it's justified that Freddie wants to pick as many of them as he can in his Blues team.
Yeah, for sure. And just to correct something there, the Warriors actually scored the second last try,
Ah, that's right. To'o, was it To'o on the final play?
Yeah, there was a try from To'o on the final play. And Tristan mentioned it in his recap, but he got it wrong there. The penalty, or the goal attempt didn't have anything to do with the cover, but that try did. Because on Wednesday, it was 25.5. Ended up closing at 28.5. For everyone who liked the Warriors, you could have got that number. And the score was a 28-point margin just before that try.
Right.
Yeah, so they ended up winning by 34 points because they got the conversion, but that try set it over. So
but you know what else? It is crazy, eh? Like the game was never – like the result was never in question. Panthers comfortably on top. They could have won by more. They maybe, you know, dropped a couple of opportunities. Warriors get a consolation try. But, like, everything came down to that final try in a sense. Like, if you laid the line late, as you said, that's a good point. I just felt like Penrith were always covering. But 28, some people who got the worst line weren't covering. But you know what else? The total. I think the total was like 42.5. So, you know, it's going under until that final try after the siren. And you know what? Tristan may have also been referring to a market they've got race to 40. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a popular bet by punters backing Penrith, which would explain why he was sweating that final kick, which Cleary didn't even take, but Crichton drilled from the sideline.
Yeah, they can't do anything wrong at the moment either, no matter who steps up. And we touched on Wednesday, they're fully healthy. Everyone's playing at a very high level. Everyone's trying to push for origin spots, and it really showed in this performance once again. Not much more superlatives you can add for how good this Penrith side is. And I think the Warriors are playing a lot harder under Stacey Jones, so credit to them. And there was a sense that it could have been a flat spot because their next home game is going to be at Mount Smart. But they made plenty of errors themselves. And I think guys like Reece Walsh, they're just trying too hard and they're making plenty of errors in defense and with the ball. That's just putting too much strain on them. And it was more the same for the Panthers. But I've had the pleasure of watching them a few times live. So how did you fare, Jacob? What do you think of them?
Yeah, I think that like on a different evening, if New Zealand weren't a little bit were a little bit less applied, they could have easily put on 60. They're so intense. Their line speed, their supports, and I felt like they didn't quite ice some opportunities, but they still put on 40. But they're just such a well-oiled machine, and it's an amazing sight to behold, and as long as they get through the next kind of couple of months healthy, it's really hard to actually see anybody beating this side. But it's so far away until we get to, you know, I was talking to people about it at the game, like, at what price do you just bet Penrith to win the comp? But the thing is, like, no matter what happens, you've still got to win a prelim and win a grand final, and you're always playing against good teams. And we were kind of having this conversation a year ago about Melbourne. We were all saying, how is anyone going to beat a healthy Melbourne? And in the end, Melbourne was hosting a prelim and just got undone on the day. You know, a couple of players were injured early, and we know how that turned out. So it's like, no matter how good the Panthers look right now, they're still going to have to win two in a row. And that's to get to a prelim getting to a prelim as well, which they're not guaranteed even if you make top four. So I think there's a long way to go. You know, the side that I did share fortnight ago, which then I was kind of regretting, at 12-1 to win the comp in Parramatta, could still be in the mix. And I still think they can make the top four themselves. And on their day, they're a pretty handy footy team as well. And they got the result for us that cashed three of our best bets. And that was by winning 26-16 over the Roosters, Parramatta did. And I forgot to mention, but Manly had put on 26 on Friday night. So that's how many we needed the Roosters to be kept under to win our mixed matchup at $2.40. So mixed matchups are profitable again in 2022. We've won 7 from 15, but they're all plus odds. You know what? The Eels were always out in front, and the Eels scored some sensational tries, and they were 100 times better than they looked against the Bulldogs, and they did bounce back from that performance. But it was such a frenzied first half with 7 tries. I was not confident at all that we were going to win the mixed matchup. And certainly not at all that we were going to keep the Roosters under 3.5 tries, which was our other best bet, which we did only just scrape home with.
Yeah, a couple of people actually messaged me as well yesterday saying, why didn't we take Parramatta over? And one of the things that we thought on Wednesday was that this was going to be a tight game, especially early, semi-final style intensity with both teams having plenty to play for. But it didn't really feel that way, and it felt like both teams were happy to spread the ball around, and there wasn't much defense in the first half, especially on the Roosters' end. I thought Parramatta were dominant with the ball. A couple of their tries, as you mentioned, were pretty much world-class, and one of the best tries of the season you'll see is that Mike Acevo try he scored with Eels from halfway going right back to left, offload. I think they had 9 offloads in that play there, which was great. Happy for us that we got the right side, and Kiri was ruled out just before kickoff, which is one of the things we said, that given his history, we didn't feel like he was going to play. A bit of smoke and mirrors there from Robinson. The line ended up starting at 3.5 in favour of the Eels, and the cover was never really in doubt, even though Parramatta only scored, I think they scored no tries in the second half.
Second half, there was only 4 points, which is crazy. After I said there were 7 tries in the first half, and I'll disagree with you there. You know, we backed the Parramatta head-to-head. But if you're going to say the cover was never in doubt, that means you felt like there was never a chance that Parramatta was going to lose. I didn't know if 26 would be enough to win that game. The way that the scoring was so free-flowing in the first half, and everyone was keeping the ball alive every play, trying to score every play, and it was like a game of touch footy or rugby sevens, and it was spectacular, some of the tries that were scored. But I also felt like everyone is going to be so tired, and nobody's going to be able to tackle Tedesco or Joey Manu or Joe Suwali in the last 10 minutes of this game. I thought unless Parramatta keep scoring, the Roosters will be scoring. So it was quite amazing that this second half only had 4 points, which came from the Roosters. And, you know, coming out second half, I'm thinking, you know, Parramatta, you've got to try and get in a grind with them. Otherwise, we're going to lose the mixed matchup, which we shouldn't be losing when we've got, you know, when we've got 26 on the board. And we're definitely going to lose the Roosters under 3.5 tries because they're going to be throwing the ball around because they were down 14 points at halftime. And sure enough, they come out throwing the ball around. They get the ball to Suwali. He's sprinting down the right sideline. He tries to kick infield. He miskicks the ball, so it actually goes more towards himself. It then takes a right angle bounce and goes back to him, and he scores. I've never seen a winger kick for teammates and miskick it so bad that it works out perfectly for him to score himself. So when that happened, I said, well, there's just no hope. It's just not meant to be. If they're going to get a try like that, and there still was like 35 minutes to go, and you would not believe that that was the last point in the game. And it was back and forth, and both sides were absolutely desperate. And we pretty much knew that would be the case for both sides. And ultimately, we took Parramatta because we think they're a little bit better based on personnel available, and we thought that maybe a little bit more left in the tank because they haven't had such a taxing last few weeks that the Roosters have. Brutal run for them, but I think we kind of have mentioned this multiple times. But 3 really tough losses down to the 80th minute, and they've got Penrith next. At least they do get a little bit of respite with 14 days before that one. And then the draw will become a little bit kinder, and you know, Warrior Hargraves could be back in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Radley, they're saying, should be back in a fortnight. I still feel like the Roosters could make a run and be a frisky finals team, but they're just going to have to be climbing, and they're going to have to be having to make their run from so far back in the field. Whereas for this win for Parramatta was huge because it reestablishes their foothold that they're really trying to fight for a top 4 spot. And you put me on the spot right now, I will say the Eels will get ahead of Brisbane and we'll get in the top 4. And I think they are probably the biggest threat outside of Penrith and Melbourne. I still think Parramatta's like, even though we know Parramatta did lose by 30 to the Cowboys, I think that they're a similar level to the Cows. And they're a frightening side when they're offloading the ball. They are very hard to handle with all those powerful forwards. Now, another crazy game this afternoon out at in the Hunter at McDonald Jones Stadium. The Raiders won 20-18. If you watched it, you thought for sure this was another double-digit lead blown by the Raiders, who did lead 14-0 before then trailing 18-14 with 2 minutes to go. And then Hudson Young solo try on more than one occasion today. Kalen Ponga was out of position. I don't think he was 100%. They said he might have been a bit sick. So whether or not he's going to be fine for Origin 2, you probably think he would be. If it was a virus or he was sick, that's not as worrying as if there were like lingering concussion effects, because of course he was knocked out 7 days ago. But nobody was home at fullback. That was the difference. That's absolutely brutal for the Knights. They've had a rough stretch. And I know they were down early, and it's great that they fought back. But once you fight back and you also get a sin bin, which is what happened to the Raiders captain, Whitehead, and you get that momentum, you have to win. You have to close out the game. And I mean, the biggest moment in this game might have been right at the very end when the Knights made a break and they looked like they're going to score a try to clinch. They had multiple chances to clinch the game and score a try. They dropped a couple over the try line. But what happened at the very, like, with like 3 minutes to go, they made a break and then they kicked ahead and it was Tapene came out of nowhere, dived on the ball, crawled out of his in goal, got it an inch out of the in goal, and then won a penalty. And that was the set that the Raiders then booted the penalty from their goal line to halfway, and that was the set they scored the winning try on. So that was like an unbelievable, phenomenal match-winning play by Tapene. And I guess that's the difference in these games. Obviously, the Raiders lost Whiten, ruled out due to COVID. You need a star player to step up. Tapene has been huge for the Raiders, and it keeps their season alive, and it sinks a dagger into the Knights. They've got to be just about, yeah, there can't be many teams lower on the ladder than them.
Nah,
Newcastle and maybe the Gold Coast.
And the Dogs. So chuck them in there as well.
But the Dogs won today. The Dogs are probably higher on the ladder now. I'll look it up now as you share your thoughts on that one.
Yeah. And then, so you mentioned that set there with Tarpane, but the set before that arguably had an equal, just as big for the swing of the contest. The Knights almost winning the game on that play where there was a 40-20 and Savage, in desperation to try and save it, taps it back in. And as he dives back on the loose ball, he knocks on. Mm. And then Edric Lee picks it up and runs 20 meters and scores a try. And everyone thinks the Knights have won because it'll be 24-14 at that point. But in the scramble to pick up the ball after Savage knocked it forward, Chuala accidentally touched it towards his own towards the Canberra goal line. So it was a double knock on. So the bunker reversed the try, and then the Knights had that set that was defused by Tarpane, as you said, and the rest is history there. But every time Ponga ran the ball all game, he was down on his knees after every hit up and carry.
He was, so wasn't he? Yeah,
it was definitely summing up with him. But it looked like it was going to be another massacre. To be fair, after the first 25 minutes, Canberra scored 3 tries, missed 2 conversions, and they were all over the Knights. And then that try just before halftime probably sparked something deep within the Knights there, because they had a lot of fight and spirit lacking for the last month, but they got into halftime with 14-6 and came out pretty hard, and they were the better team in the second half. And it was just by far the better team, yeah. And it was just a great play, heads-up play there from the Canberra back rower, knowing Ponga was in the defensive line and he couldn't cover the try. So Canberra ended up sneaking away with it. And I don't think Ricky Stewart's going to be happy with the performance. So definitely something to work on still, because they come up big and put in big efforts against the good sides. But I don't know what it is with Canberra against these smaller teams, whether it's a bit of complacency or lack of direction. They just seem to always struggle and limp through these sides if they do win at all. So definitely something to work on. We've been saying it for a while now, but I think for O'Brien and the Knights, their season's pretty much done. As you touched on, they're on 10 points. There's a few teams below them, and like the Bulldogs.
Yes, I sold them a little short there. They are about 12th, but they've had a bye, so they've actually only got 4 wins. The Tigers and the Gold Coast Titans have got 3 wins, and they're equal with wins with like the Bulldogs, who have 4 wins, and the Warriors as well with 4 wins. So yeah, and it's the slim margins, like. You know, if the Knights hold on and win this game, it's a great fight back win. It's a comeback. I said this was in the Hunter. I was wrong. Sorry. It was not in Newcastle. My mistake. But it's a win away from home. It would have been a really gutsy win, right? But in the end, it turns into this great fight back by the Raiders. And how many times has Hudson Young scored the winning try? I know he did it in the opening round, didn't he? And I feel like he gets late tries in a few of these games. But you go back to like Manly and Cowboys, you know, it's either going to be a great win by Manly and show that they're still hanging around, but it ends up being a brutal loss for Manly and an amazing win for the Cows. And, you know, it was going to be brutal for whoever lost between Roosters and Eels last night. And it was going to be a great win for whoever gets ahead. And some of these games, they're decided by, you know, like a bounce of a ball or a heads up play by Hudson Young. And you put yourself in a position to win the game, and sometimes you're able to take that opportunity, because otherwise this would have been a disaster for the Raiders, who started the game 9.5-point favourites, got out 14-0, as you say, the first 3 tries, and nearly let it slip. But they did fight back, and they handed a real tough loss to the Knights. And then the Tigers were served a tough loss today with the Bulldogs winning 36-12. So the Bulldogs' run of form continues, make that 5 out of 5 games since Potter's taken over that they've exceeded their team total. And in this case, they well and truly, I think every single Dogs game has gone over as well. I can't remember if their game went over last week. If it didn't against Parramatta, it's only because it did go over.
Yeah, it went over.
Yeah. I was going to say if it didn't, it's only because of how little their opponents scored. But the Bulldogs scoring is crazy. It's not a good look for Trent Barrett, just quietly. Like, if he was ever going to get another job, like, you could say, well, he had a really tough gig at the Dogs. But then Potter comes in and you see what this side is capable of, and it's night and day how much better their scoring is. So the Doggies did everything right today and they're playing with so much confidence, and we really have to reevaluate how improved they are just because they're reinvigorated. And a lot of the guys that I spoke about on Wednesday, like in key positions, like Avarillo's come alive, Carraz, obviously Addo Carr with this edge, and Burton, and then these guys are back in the rep arena. And then the forward pack's gone forward. So it's all signs positive. For the Tigers, this was basically the same performance and same result as last week. It was a try apiece early. You know, you're down 12-6. I think about a similar score against Manly. You know, it's a tight game. The only difference is the Tigers didn't get a send-off this week, so they've really got even less excuses for the fact that they got blown out late.
Yeah, I think that really that first half took a toll on them. They only had about 32% of the ball. And the Dogs were all over him. And apart from the Panthers this round, I feel that the Dogs were probably my second favorite team to watch this round. And they were super impressive. And luckily, the numbers weren't high enough on Wednesday because we were leaning the Tigers and probably would have taken them as the best bet.
Yeah, good point. I didn't want to avoid saying that. That's true. Like, if we could have got a 4 or 4.5, we're probably on the Tigers. And, yeah. I would actually say of all the games, that was the game we probably got wrong in the way we discussed it. We said we know a lot of people will like the Dogs, but we're not sure they're great value because we see it as more of a 50-50. So we've got to admit we got that one wrong. Luckily, we didn't have a best bet on.
Well, the Dogs still are improving, and I think Barrett did have a good relationship with the players because when they asked Josh Jackson in the post-match last week and during the week in training, oh, what's been the turnaround in attack? And he said, oh, nothing's changed much. We've just gelled as a side more because now we're into week 15. So I think that's sparing Barrett's blushes because you can see noticeable shift in how they do play, plenty of offloads and end-to-end footy, and they're not afraid to take on the line. And I think Burden's really attacking the play now as well, which is great. Addo Carr's coming in towards the ruck and trying to get more involved. And Carraz has been a shining light for them. And since he debuted against the Broncos, he pretty much has been in irresistible form for them, and he just can't get dropped at the moment. So credit to them and the crowd's really involved. And maybe we did sleep on the Bulldogs a bit, thinking that the last few wins, they've won 2 in a row now, but last week's win would be a down spot for them at the moment. But I really think that when you are down for so long, as we've touched on before, like you get a boost that you do win, and you don't want to let that go. So at the moment, the Dogs are really found something in that side, and they're playing well, and they'd probably be a bet on team for me again next week, or depending on obviously the line value and injury status and opponent. But yeah, I've been really impressed with them, and I'm not looking forward to riding out the rest of the year with the Dogs wooden spoon ticket because I don't think they can win at the moment.
That's the other thing. That's the other annoying thing. Like 7 days ago, the Dogs were bottom of the ladder with 2 wins, but in the last 7 days, they've obviously knocking off Parramatta as like one of the biggest underdogs of the season. And then today was, 50-50 odds wise. They get that win too, and they look insatiable, as you say. So, does form carry through now that there is a kind of a split or a bye round? You know, it's that bit longer to capture that, but it's certainly positive signs for the Doggies. And, the talent, the talent's there. It's just about putting it together. I mean, they got a few playmakers, not like they got the most talented roster, but they're clearly just playing with a lot more confidence and happiness in the side. And that counts for something. When the Tigers are probably the exact opposite, they're really trying to search for that. And, I mean, Jeff's commented there that any new head coach gives a spark. But the Tigers got a new coach 2 weeks ago, and have lost the last couple of games by 30. So I think you've got to give credit to Potter as well. I wonder at what point does he his name get thrown around for the permanent gig there. But that is the other interesting thing to watch with a few head coaching vacancies. And, you know, a game we just spoke about before, O'Brien, he had to be sick to his stomach. You lose a game like that, that could be, you know, his job security is going to be razor thin if it exists at all. But that's our recap of round 15. We did our best. We always said we've had a really poor season. You just can't win it all back in 1 week. And we could have gone even better this week, but we'll take it. And we'll chip away. We'll give you our best shot every week. But we will have a week off from NRL, obviously. And we won't be here on Wednesday. But as I say, Friday is when we're aiming to bring you a collaborative Origin preview show. I'm going to put up our best bet one more time. We did share at the start of this show, we are saying New South Wales, we think, are best bet worthy at $1.85 head-to-head to win for the reasons we outlined at the start. But we'll give a more of an in-depth preview of the game and obviously analyze the exact matchups and lineups once those are known, and bring in plenty of other tipsters that have had superior seasons to us this year, as well as some former legends, as we did for Origin 1. So look forward to that on Friday. Enjoy your week. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in to our recap. Thank you for joining me, Padonis. And now all attention to rep round. Lego.